Blog Talk Radio.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Yvonne, and this is Off the Chain. And I want to welcome you tonight. This is Saturday night, and we only have two more shows before the silly season is upon us. And real quick, on Wednesday night, my guest will be the one and only David Morrell. If you know Rambo, then you know David Morrell because he wrote that series. He also has a new series out called has to do with England in 1856, and he has a Mr. Quincy, a Dr. Quincy, who is known as the Opium Eater. So you want to be listening to that show on Wednesday night. On Thursday night, my friend and radio host Floyd Potts will be my guest, and we will once again be teaching people how to have discourse and debate without being hateful and ugly to each other and still remain friends. Tonight, however, I have a young woman. Her name is Miranda Shanklin. She is an author. She writes paranormal romance. She resides in central Illinois, and I'm sure it's cold as all get out up there, with her husband and her two children. And when she's not working at her day job as a paralegal, she's running her children to practices or supporting them at events. She's writing. She is also writing. She's been an avid reader most of her life and has always dreamed of writing her own book someday. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is the dream. Now that her children are reaching their teenage years, she's finding the time to sit down and chase her dream. Welcome, Miranda. How are you tonight?
I am very cold. We just got an ice storm, and it is freezing here. So we have been huddled down and trying to stay warm today.
Oh, well, good, because I've driven on black ice, and it's not a pretty thing. So stay in and stay safe so that you can come back on this show and talk about all these wonderful books we're going to get around to talking about.
Yes.
As I told you before the show, what I like to do with my guest is I want the audience to know who they're listening to. Because before we can sell our product, we as artists need to sell ourselves. So let's just step back into your past a little bit and talk about your history. Have you always wanted to write? Was that the path that you chose growing up? Or was it something that you decided later in life? You're a paralegal, which is right up my alley because my degree is in criminal justice and I hunt people for a living as well as right. So explain to people how you got from point A to here.
Well, actually, when I was growing up, my dad was an iron worker and my mom was a stay-at-home mom when I was a kid. And writing was just one of those things. It was kind of, you know, when you're a kid, you have those dreams, but it's not something you ever really thought you would do. I always wanted to be a lawyer, to be honest. And when I got into high school, I wanted to be a psychologist.
Wow.
And I ended up going to school and being a paralegal. But I was always a very avid reader. And then when I had kids and when they started getting a little bit older and that dream of being a writer was still there. And then when I realized that it had always been there and I realized that that was what I honestly in my heart really wanted to do. And then as the kids got older and they started talking about the things that they wanted to do, and then I finally realized that that's what I really wanted. And if I wanted to show my kids to actually follow their dreams, then I needed to show them to follow their dreams. So I had to do that.
And that is very true, because we can, our children learn by example. So if we as parents say, well, you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up, but then we're sitting on the sidelines going, well, I really want to do this, but, you know, I really would like to do this, but we're not setting that example for our children. In fact, we're cheating ourselves.
Right. So, I decided that if I wanted to show them that if they want to do that, they can, then that means that I had to do it for myself, too.
So
I found a way to do it.
And that leads me to my next question. You have two children. You have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, I think you told me. Plus, you have a full-time job. Plus, you run a home. Plus, you have a wonderful husband. Plus, you
I have a very wonderful husband.
Plus, you have all the other things that get in the way of life. How in the world do you find time, or do you make time? Because we know there's 24 hours in a day.
I make time, and like you said, I have a very wonderful husband. He is very supportive, and he helps out tremendously. And I did wait until the children were teenage to where they're more self-sufficient, and they're able to help. I mean, they have chores around the house, and they're a lot more self-sufficient, so they don't need the constant supervision and the constant attention, and they're able to do a lot more things on their own. And then, yeah, my husband is so supportive and very helpful, and he picks up a lot of the slack around the house.
So, as most of us are artists, and especially with writers, and I know that musicians are the same way, when you are not writing, do your characters drive you crazy at work?
They do. They do. And that is the bad part, is that's when they're most vocal, is during the day when I'm at work. And it's just like, okay, I got it. And I have to, like, push them to the back of my mind because I'm trying to focus on my job, and they're like, no, I got to tell you this. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Go away.
Do you take your lunch hour and write down notes that your characters are screaming at you?
I do, yes.
And see, that's just another, that, ladies and gentlemen, that's just another piece in the puzzle of a very busy mom, wife, and independent woman making time for that which she has a passion for. She sacrifices her lunch hour of socializing with friends, maybe even going out to lunch, to listen to the voices in her head tell her what to do.
Yeah, I've actually taken over our dining room as my writing area.
I understand that. And I bet you have sticky notes all over the place.
I don't. I have a big whiteboard that's set up in my dining room.
I have one of those, and, too.
Yeah, and because I use that as, like, my storyboard, and it's, like, got scribbles and lines and everything, and my husband looks at it, and I'm like, and he's like, does that actually make sense to you? And I'm like, yeah, I can just glance at it, and it tells me the details that I need, and it's because it's got, like, eye colors and names and just different little details, and I'm like, yeah. And he was, I'm like, yes, that is a glance inside of my head. And he's like,
exactly.
And he goes, well, at least the crazy is beneficial to something.
And as writers, the inside of our head can be a very scary place. I know mine is.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine's an extremely scary place. Well, let me ask you this, my dear. As growing up and as a reader, what authors did you read the most of, and how did those authors influence you?
Well, I read a lot of Stephen King and Dean Koontz growing up. Actually, one year for my birthday, my mom enrolled me in the Stephen King library. I actually have every book written by Stephen King in hardback. And
wow.
They actually still come in every year. Every time he writes a book, I still get them. They come to my mom. She pays for them and gives me the book because she enrolled me in that library. And she still has me in that. And I mean, and at 10 years old, most parents would not buy their children a Stephen King book. But I loved his book so much that, and she because I was reading, and I devoured every book I could get a hold of, even at 10 years old. She was just like, you know, she loves to read. Here you go.
Well, you had a very wise mom because she did not censor what you read.
No, because it didn't give me nightmares. It didn't, like, give me any ill effects. So the way she saw it was, it didn't bother me, and it kept my interest, and it, you know, it. So there was no problems with it, so why keep it from me?
Exactly, and what it did is it expanded your mind, both in the literary field and in verbiage, and I'm sure words you didn't know, because he can come out with some strange words. Words you didn't know,
right.
You went and looked them up so that you would know what they were, so it increased your vocabulary 100-fold.
Right, right. So, I mean, and it also broadened my thinking, because
narrow-minded?
I wasn't so limited into what everybody thought a 10-year-old should think.
Very true.
Because,
very, very true.
I was reading on a much higher level into what people would expect out of a 10-year-old.
And that begs the question, if a child goes into a library, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up, if a child, say that's 10 years old, goes into a library and bypasses the, I'm going to call them elementary books, and goes to the more advanced books because those elementary books bore them and they can soak them up in like 10 minutes, but goes
mm-hmm.
to the higher level books, and then the librarian says, you can't check that out because you won't understand it. Do you agree that that is not a fair assumption?
I do. I completely agree with that. And I actually, what I do with my daughter, because my daughter goes with me to a lot of author events, and she'll get the books from the authors, and they'll, you know, and they sign them to her and everything. Now, during the school year, she can't read them because they have what they call AR goals in school that they have to take tests on them, and it's part of their English class grade. And
right.
Those, she can't take tests on those books because they're not in, they don't have tests for those books. So she can only read the books that she gets from the authors during the summer. because she has to read the books that she can take the test on during the school year.
Right.
But I let her read whatever she wants during the summer. I don't care what level it is. If she wants to read it, she can read it.
And even if she doesn't understand all the words, because with Stephen King, I know at 10 years old, you didn't understand all the words. But like you, she goes and looks them up or asks you about them or finds
exactly.
a way to figure out what it means.
Right. And if there's anything in any of the books that she doesn't understand, she'll come and ask me, you know, I don't quite understand what this means, and I'll go through it with her. And that's fine. I have no problem with that because it's broadening her horizon and it's broadening her understanding of the world around her.
Exactly. And even in fiction, Miranda, do you agree that even in fiction that we can learn something?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, because it's, okay, even in fiction, it's still based on the world around you.
Yes. It's based on human emotion. It's based on human interactions. It's based on relationships. It's based on the person themselves and how they act in any given situation. And even with fantasy or what you write, paranormal romance, you still have the human dynamic that plays throughout the story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my stories are about witches, but, and granted, my witches are separate from humans. However, the only part that is separate is the magic within them. Everything else about them is the same as humans. So you still have all the human emotion, and you have the human interaction, and you have everything else that is the same as everything else in the world around you. So you still have everything that every normal person goes through in their daily life.
Now, what I find interesting is that you read Stephen King, you devoured Dean Koontz,
mm-hmm.
and they are both horror writers on a very high spectrum, not intelligence-wise, but their horror is bone-chilling.
Right, and then I write young adult paranormal romance.
Paranormal romance. It's kind of like an oxymoron to me because one would think, well, she reads this. That's where her interest lies. Why would she not go down that path in her writing?
Well, that's what I read growing up. And then as I got a little bit older and then once I had the kids, I kind of strayed more towards like the young adult paranormal stuff. It's just kind of as I had kids, I kind of strayed a little bit away from the horror and got more into, you know, and I started reading the stuff like the Twilight and the stuff like that. And like I did read, I love the Hunger Games and the stuff like that. I did start reading more like that once I had the kids. I kind of strayed away from the horror just because I don't know if it's because the mother in me kind of strayed away from the horror because, you know, you have new fears once you have kids.
Yes, you do. Yes.
And it's just like, you know, you read that horror and you're thinking, oh, my God, what if something like that happens to my kids? And it just kind of.
And then you look behind every door and under every bed.
Right. So I kind of got away from that once I had them. And I was 22 when I had, or no, sorry, 23 when I had my first. So I was a little bit of a younger mother. So then, of course, you know, I was a little bit of an anxious mother when I had him. I mean, the first time he was out of my sight, my mom actually had to, like, pretend like she was changing his diaper and packed him up in his car seat and then said, I'm taking him, and left with him. And I'm like, oh, my God, just with my kid.
And now that he's 15, you're saying, mother, take my child, please, right?
Yeah, and that, you know, by the time he was two, I'm like, taking, please.
Oh, how the time has changed. That
yeah.
is too funny. So who else do you read besides the Twilight series and the Hunger Games, now that you've, has your taste changed even more as you've gotten a little bit older?
You know what? Now I will read pretty much anything. I don't really have any preference. I will read any genre, anything. Excuse me, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so. Yeah, I will read anything. I really don't. I will genre hop. I really don't stick to one genre. I'm not picky, and I'm not, and that's one thing that I really have found, because I used to just only read paranormal romance, and I would stick to one thing, and I would read, when I was younger, it was all the horror, then I would stick to just, like, shifters, and then I stuck to just, you know, but now I'm just like, you know what, when I first started writing and I would hit different author friends, when I would find someone, I'm like, oh, and then that's when I finally started realizing that, you know, they're like, oh, well, do you mind, I really need some more reviews. Do you mind reviewing this for me? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, so I'd read, and that's when I started realizing, I'm like, you know, I'm like really missing out by not reading different genres.
Because what you weren't doing as a young person in limiting your knowledge, you were doing as an adult, because like most of us do, we find one genre we like, so we're going to read everything in it, and we don't spread ourselves out to go, oh, well, let me try this sci-fi, I might like it, or let me try this fantasy, I might like it, or let me try this western, I might like it. We, again, limit our horizons by what we read as we get older, too. If we don't just say, okay, just throw me a book. Let me just pick one.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I've done is, like, when I'm scrolling through my newsfeed on Facebook, and because I've got so many different authors that I've liked, and, of course, you know, they share their, you know, when they've got stuff, like they've got a special on something or they've got a new release or something, and you see all these different things. And I read pretty much every time I see it in my newsfeed, and I'll read pretty much everybody's blurbs. I'm like, oh, that sounds good, and I'll one click it and put it on my Kindle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gotta love those Kindles.
And then, oh yeah, and then when I'm ready for a new book, I just go through and I'm like, oh, you know what, this one sounds good this time, and I'll just, you know, so it's always whatever I'm in the mood for that day, and that's what I'll read. So, I mean, you know, one day I'll read a romance, one day I'll read a Western, one day I'll read, you know, and I'm always reading something different. And so...
And it also helps the indie authors that are out there, too, because I'm sure that most of the books, if not all of them, you will go and give a review. And in this business that we're in, and I've been in it going on 10, 12 years now, and I got into it when we were really put down for being indie authors, it's tough enough being an author because there's millions of books out. There's as many books as there are stars in the sky.
Oh, there are. Oh, yeah.
And we could never read them all if we lived 50 lifetimes. So when you take the time to say, okay, I'm going to read this indie author, what you're doing is you're helping that author. And in kind, they will turn around and read you. And, you know, the old saying, they will tell 10 friends who will tell 10 friends. And pretty soon, you've got mm-hmm. books being sold out the nose, and it's all because of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's how the indie world works.
Yes. It really is.
And the best way that this all works is, and what I don't understand a lot of times is when people get upset, there are so many books. However, there are so many readers. It's not a competition because no reader only reads one author.
It is. And when someone gets that mindset that it's a competition, they cheat themselves. They really do because they're not opening themselves up to the support. I don't get paid for this show, and you know I don't charge my guests for this show because I want my guests to succeed, and by them succeeding, I succeed.
Right. Yeah, see, I'm all about, you know, people say, hey, can you share this for me? Sure, send me the links. Because
absolutely.
It is not a competition because there's plenty of readers out there for everybody because no reader only reads one author.
And if they do, then they're cheating themselves. And that brings me to something that I read, and I want to discuss it a little bit because I know there's some indie authors out there that are going, or some people that want to write that are, I call it foundering in the lake because they haven't yet learned how to connect with those that have walked this path and how to get started. But you were with Eclectic Bard Books for a long time, were you not, or a while?
I was with them for about a year.
What made you leave them, if it's okay for you to talk about it, and strike out on your own? Because that was a leap of faith on your part.
I was on my own for a little bit, and then I did sign with them, and I stayed with them for about a year. It just wasn't the right fit for me. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that publishing house. They are great authors. They are great people. And like I said, there's nothing wrong. It just wasn't a good fit for me.
Because
I'm one that I work better on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work well for me.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but. And that this is the trap that I feel like that some of these young authors fall into. They want to go with the first independent publishing house they find, but then they get unhappy for whatever reason. And like you say, it's not a good fit. The people are probably marvelous, but if you have a different journey in mind and they don't want to go down that journey with you, it's best to part amicably, is it not?
It is. It is. And it was a very amicable part. I mean, there was no hard feelings. And people always think that when you leave that there's this big, huge blow up and there's problems and they were horrible to me. And they really weren't. There was no big fight. There was no blow up. It was not this big drama filled thing. It was amicable. It was not a big, big blow up. It wasn't a big fight. There was no big thing. It was not right for me. They understood that it wasn't right for me, and it was amicable. We're still friends. We still talk. Everybody there I'm still friends with, I still talk to them regularly. It just was not the right fit for me.
That's like the last publishing house that I was with, one of the covers on my books just, it didn't fit. It was a nice enough cover, but if you've seen my books explode, the covers explode. And I wanted to change the cover, and he said they couldn't because it would cost them too much money to change the cover. I already had the cover. I already had the artwork. So when my contract was up, I said, okay, I'm going to pull my book back, not because you haven't been great, you have, and I appreciate everything you did, but I want control again. I need that control of controlling my cover, my artwork, my editing. I need that back for my self-gratification. So I pulled my book back. But again, there were no hard feelings. I loved the time I had with him, but it was, I'm kind of a control freak, so it was time for me to just take care of my own.
See, and so I think that's got, I mean, and that's a lot of it, is I work better on my own. And Eclectic Bard is, they are, like I said, they are a great company and they are great people. I'm more of a lone worker. I do work better on my own. There's a reason I work behind my computer. I'm more of a, And so working in a group like that is just not something that that goes well for me. And so I think that had a lot to do with it.
Well, let's get back to your books. You write paranormal romance. Now, that is a fairly new, last 10 years or so, genre. Explain to the listening audience what is encompassed in that genre.
Well, that genre actually encompasses a very large thing, and it can include werewolves, vampires, shifters. I mean, it's got a very large encompass thing. Mine is witches. So when I usually when I, like when I'm at events and stuff, and I say paranormal romance about witches, so that it does narrow it down to what the paranormal part is. Because like I said, anything fae, fairies, I mean, anything like that is paranormal. So when you say paranormal, that can be so many different things.
Anything from witches to werewolves.
Yeah,
the
that's
whole
paranormal.
Game.
So. Yeah. And then, of course, romance is anything romantic, you know, like as long as it's got the romantic storyline, then that's, you know, so anything paranormal and a romantic storyline is going to be paranormal romance. So that's a pretty broad, generic term as far as a genre. But like I said, mine's witches. And the soul part of the story, of the titles, is because my witches, the magic does not come through the bloodline. It's in the soul. So when they die, their soul transitions to the clouds instead of heaven, because, you know, when the humans die, they go to heaven, but when my witches die, they go to the clouds, and then they have their resting period, and then they're reborn into a new body. And when they turn 16, their powers start to resurface, and then they start to get their memories back from all of their past lives, except for the four main characters who have their own little storyline. And then, of course, I can't tell you anymore because that would ruin the storyline.
So the first book is Soul Journey.
Yes.
That's the first book in the series. And this is a series, yes, ladies and gentlemen. So if you read it, you're going to have to read it in order to understand the whole storyline. You're going to have to read it in the series that it falls in. And it's my understanding, Miranda, yes, that books 1 and 2 are out, correct?
Yeah, they were all out at one time, but I am re-editing. So books 1 and 2 are re-released already. Book 3 is in final edits right now. I just got an email from my editor about a week or two ago that I should have the final edits back for review here in the next couple weeks. So I should have that one back out here in the next, 3-4 weeks. Books 4 and 5, I should have to the editor. So that the books 4 and 5 should be back out in the next couple months. And then
so the first
I am.
One,
go ahead.
The first one is called Soul Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? All right.
Yes, Soul Journey.
And in this book, does it give the history of your characters and how they came to be? Does it build up the storyline so that you know exactly where you're going? What is the name of your main characters?
Anissa, Chase, Penelope, and Landon.
And then the second one that is out is called Soul Redemption.
Yes.
What is the theme of this second book?
That is where the four main characters, by the end of, let me think, is it by the end of the second book? I don't remember if it's the end of the second book or the third book. We actually end up with 6 main characters because we add Rain and Ethan into the mix. But that is where the four main characters have to gain redemption for their behavior. But I can't give you any more than that or it's going to ruin book one.
That's okay. What you're saying is there are consequences for actions that these characters take, as in real life.
Yes.
I always used to tell my children, you can do anything you want to do, good, better, and different. It matters not to me. However, once you do that thing, you must be prepared for the consequences, intended or non-intended. And that for every action, there is always an equal and opposite reaction, and there is always a consequence.
Yes. And some of their actions that they are getting redemption for were not even in this lifetime.
And that puts the twist on the story.
Yes. See, so some things that happened a long time ago, so even if you have moved past your actions, does not mean that everybody else has.
So see, ladies and gentlemen, it does not matter what we do. And if one believes in reincarnation, and I am one of those that I believe in it for the very simple fact that I've had feelings of deja vu. So if you believe in reincarnation, that the soul does come back and inhabit another body, who's not to say that there are not consequences, both intended and non-intended, for past life?
But, see, that could also mean that, you know, just because you've moved past something that you have done in your past, even if you've, you know, it could have been 5 years ago.
Right.
Doesn't mean that somebody else has not moved past that.
And that is true. That is very, very true. And again, just like in real life, you have life's lessons in your books that even a young person can learn from, even an older person can learn from.
Yes.
So we're back to that thing that no matter what you read, if you read it with an open mind, you will learn something.
Yes.
Very interesting. So the third in the series is called Soul Knowledge.
Yes.
The
yeah,
fourth
and that
in
one,
the series.
Like I said,
go ahead.
The fourth is Soul Freedom.
And then the last one?
Soul Discovery.
And those, the last two
should be out within the next few months.
And then the one before that should be out after Christmas sometime.
Right.
Now, you also have something coming out that you tell me you're working on, which will really, really be interesting. Share that with us.
I am working on a spinoff trilogy, which is the children of the main characters in the Soul series. And that one should be out next year sometime.
And how many will be in that series?
That's a trilogy. It's a trilogy, so it will only be three books. But once I'm done with that trilogy, that's going to be the end of those characters. I'm not going to do any more after that. I'm going to put all of those characters to bed. So once the end of, once I write, because I've got the first draft done of the first two books of the trilogy, I just have to write the first draft of the final book of that trilogy, which I haven't started yet because that's going to be a really hard book for me to write because it's saying goodbye to all of those characters and because it's the final book and it's I'm done with all of them.
I understand that feeling because it's like letting your child go out the door.
Right.
It's closing the book on that chapter of your life. I get that. I really, really do.
Right.
So what are you gonna do when you put these folks to bed?
I actually have quite a few books planned after that. I have a contemporary romance I'm gonna do. I am going to do a book about a girl that struggles with depression, and I am researching another series that's going to be a paranormal suspense.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, that one, I actually haven't been reading for pleasure for a while on that one because I'm doing a lot of research on that one. Because that one, that one's going to be pretty detailed. There's going to be a lot of different aspects to that one.
What makes you like writing? I know you read a lot of it, but what drew you to that genre? Because that seems to be the explosive genre now in fiction.
The paranormal?
Uh-huh.
I think my imagination just takes off. Once I started, like with the witches, and that's kind of where I'm going to, with this next series that I'm researching, that one I'm going to have pretty much a lot. I'm going to have witches, I'm going to have fairies, I'm going to have dragons, I'm going to have all of it in that one. But, once I get into it, my imagination just takes off and I lose myself into it and my mind just goes and goes and goes and I can just, and I don't know, it's relaxing and I can just let everything else go and let my mind just go.
Paranormal is an interesting genre. It's an interesting genre to read and it's an interesting genre to write because you have to blend the realm of reality with the realm of the paranormal and the almost unbelievable.
But the problem is finding the unbelievable and bringing it in enough to make it believable enough to where somebody can be like, I could actually see that. Because
absolutely.
If you can't make it to where they could be like, oh, I could almost see that, it's not going to suck them in.
No, it won't. Because then they'll go, what are these people talking about? That could never happen.
Right.
But if you write it in the way that it just sucks the reader right in and they say, yeah, I can see that happening, then they're more than willing to pick up the next book.
Right.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm reading your books. You've got me hooked and I haven't even written. So now I got to go download your book. So you got to hurry up and get the other books written so I can read them. So what do your children think about you living your dream?
They actually are very supportive, which surprised me. I thought they'd be a little upset about especially my daughter, because, my son, he's like, okay, whatever, Mom, I don't care. But my daughter, because I'm the assistant coach on her dance team, so her and I are extremely close. My son, he's a 15-year-old boy. He's like, yeah, whatever, Mom, I don't care. But my daughter and I are very close, and I thought that she'd be a little upset about the extra time I was spending away from her. And she actually is very supportive and helps me out with a lot of stuff. And
does she read your drafts?
She started to read the first book, but it didn't really hold her interest. So she actually didn't get very far in it.
But she may surprise you later on as she grows and matures some. She may pick that book back up.
She may, but I'm also not going to force it on her.
Oh, no, never, because she'll come to it on her own when she's ready.
Right.
Well,
yeah, so my husband hasn't read it, but he's not a reader, so.
Don't feel bad. My husband hasn't read any of my books, and one of the books that I wrote is a true crime that he worked, and he hadn't read that one either.
But Soul Journey is in production for audiobook as well.
Well done. When will that be released?
So it should be. It should be released. Let's see. She just sent me an update. It is. I'm thinking it should be released early January.
Oh, all right. Will you have little snippets? Because if you have little snippets that you can send me like a minute or a minute and a half, I can use that as an ad for you on the show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I don't have any as of yet. She has, she's sending me updates that she's got all the way up through chapter 22 recorded, but I don't. She's not sending me snippets. So.
Well, when she gets it all finished and she sends you whatever she's going to send you, ask her to send you a minute, minute and a half. And what I'll do is I'll play it as an ad for you and let folks know that this book is also in audiobooks, because people love audiobooks, and you can download audiobooks to your Kindle now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
If you have a Kindle Fire, and I think some regular Kindles, you can download the audio book to your Kindle Fire, I know for sure.
Oh, awesome.
So, there's another avenue. There's another avenue for you.
Awesome.
Yep.
I've been working on getting that. It was supposed to be done in August, but she had technical difficulty, so it got pushed back. So, but I just got an update last week, and she had all the way up through chapter 22 recorded and edited, and she was verifying information for the closing credits, so it's almost done.
Well, as soon as you get it, let me know.
Okay.
And like I did my own shameless promotion at the beginning of the show, I'll do a shameless promotion for you, too, because it's so much fun to do shameless promotions.
Oh, yeah, I do those all the time.
I enjoy it. So where can you be found?
Right now I'm only on Amazon. And then, of course, my website is MirandaShanklin.com and Facebook.
Now, on your Facebook, you're listed different on your Facebook, or at least the one that you and I are friends on.
Right. I do have a Miranda Shanklin Facebook, but for some reason, you can tag my Miranda Shanklin Facebook, but it doesn't – Facebook is weird with the author page, and it doesn't let many people see it. So I use my personal one for most things, just because everybody can see that one.
I use my personal one, and then when I want to put stuff up that I want it to show up on my author page, I tag my author page.
Yeah, I do that too. What I do is I put it on my personal and my author, so that you know, people that are only on my author page will see it, and then people will also see it on my personal. So I just do both is what I do.
So see, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we deal with the things that we deal with in this indie world. And any of you that think that it's easy, it isn't, but we wouldn't have it any other way, would we, Miranda?
No, it's a lot of work, but it's completely worth it.
And it's self-fulfilling, I believe. But
oh, yeah.
I've been doing it for quite a minute or two. We have a few minutes left. And before the show, we were discussing dreams, and you talked a little bit that you had to decide that if you wanted your children to see that they could achieve their dream, that you had to show by your example. So if someone comes up to you and they say, Miranda, I don't know how you do it. You're a mom, you're a wife, you have a job, you have responsibilities, you do things with your daughter. How do you do it? Because I don't have any time, but yet I have this dream that I have, but I have no time. I have this and this and this and this to do. How do you make time? How do you do it? What would you tell them?
You make the time. You find it. You don't give yourself any other option. I have actually stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning just to get something done. I had a deadline, granted it's self-imposed because I'm an indie author. I gave myself a deadline and I wanted it had to be done. So I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning making sure it was done. I got 3 hours of sleep before I went to work the next day because it had to be done.
You make the time, and you give, like you say, you give yourself deadlines. You set goals for yourself. Because if we don't set those goals, then we're like a cork bobbing around in the water. We start something, then we walk away from it and do something else, and nothing gets finished. So we not only didn't try, but we just sort of ignored it because it was too hard.
Oh, yeah, nothing's too hard.
I see you're a woman after my own heart. There's nothing too... I mean,
if you let yourself believe that something is too hard, you'll never get anything done.
You are absolutely right. And as a mother, you and I have been through that where we've been up all night with a sick child and had to go to work the next day. So it's the same mindset that... If we want to make this right, or we want to make this better, or we want to achieve this goal, then we will do whatever it takes and make any sacrifice necessary to make it happen. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah. Yeah, if you want it bad enough, you will do whatever you have to do to get it. You just have to want it bad enough.
And you have to make it your total focus. Everything that you do in your life has to be geared toward that end result, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it has to be a priority. If you don't make it a priority, you're not going to make it happen. I mean, granted, okay, yeah, my kids are always going to be my number one priority. I mean, that's just a given. But my writing is always going to be up there as one of my priorities.
Because it's important to you. And it's like I have talked about before, yes, you're a wife, yes, you're a mother, yes, you're a friend, yes, you're a daughter, but you also are Miranda Shakelin. You're also yourself, and it's not fair to lose that part of you that has that dream because you've given it away to everybody else and not saved some for yourself.
Right. Yeah, you always have to make time for yourself and for what you want. If you don't make time for your dreams and to go after what you want, you're going to give a part of yourself up. You're not being fair to yourself.
And would it be a fair assumption to say that at some point in one's life that there might be a bit of resentment harbored when one sits back and reflects and said, well, if it hadn't have been for this or if it hadn't have been for that, I could have done this. You know, we're back to that shoulda, woulda, coulda thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you'll definitely always have that I could have done this, I should have done this. And, you know, and I mean, yeah, I did say that, you know, I had the show for my kids, but that was only part of it. You know, yeah, I wanted to show that for my kids, but I also wanted to show myself that I could do it.
Exactly. And you've done it, and you continue to do it because it is important to you. And think about this too, Miranda. It's something that you're going to leave behind. It's a legacy that you're going to leave behind for your children and your grandchildren. They will always know that their mother and their grandmother and their great-grandmother was an author. What a wonderful
right.
legacy to leave.
Right. I mean, they're going to see that, and they're always going to have. I mean, because, of course, you know, I keep copies of every book I wrote. I order, you know, as soon as I write them, as soon as they publish, I order copies and I have them here. So they're always going to have copies of those books to say, hey, look, this is what, you know, my mom wrote, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, this is what she did. They're always going to have that.
And books are like music and art. Once it's out there, it's always out there. Especially now in this technological age where once it's out there, it's a done deal.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's never going to go away. It's always going to be out there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who have listened to my show since the inception, and you are my 61st guest tonight, Miranda, so thank you very much for being
on.
Yes, and like I said, me and you and 6,000 listeners, so we've come a long way, baby, in 5.5 months. I'm very proud of this show. And you are coming back, because we have to launch your book. So, and you're sending me the little snippet of your audio. But ladies and gentlemen, Miranda and I have been talking about if you have a dream, and anyone that says, no, I don't have a dream, I'll tell you, you're lying to yourself. Because
everyone
has
a dream.
Yes, they do. Everyone has a dream. And everyone can make that dream come true, but they have to want it bad enough. In all of your life, everything that you do, your lifestyle, your attitude, your direction all has to be geared toward making that dream real. And sometimes the dream changes. And that's okay, too, because you've geared yourself towards a dream, and the way that you have geared yourself is going to help you when that dream changes. Doesn't mean the dream was good or bad. It just means that the direction changed. So at the end of your days, when you're laying there and someone says, well, have you got any regrets? And you say, well, I could have been a pilot. I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a writer. I really wanted to climb Mount Everest, but why would you do that? Miranda, why would anyone do that when the opportunities are boundless?
I don't know.
It's almost criminal. Because I feel like sometimes we waste so much energy making excuses.
That's
would that
just
be
the way people are anymore.
It's
everybody
sad.
Makes excuses. Everybody makes excuses for everything anymore.
They do. They really, really do. They make excuses of why they don't want to go to work, of why they don't want to do this. And it's, to me, it's a negative energy and a negative attitude that will shorten their life. It shortens their happiness. It shortens their well-being. Because just in this hour that you and I have, I'm already rejuvenated again. I'm going out and buying books. I'm excited.
Well, I'm glad you're buying books because they're mine.
Exactly. Because I want to read. I'm reading because, number one, I love witches because I am one. And number two, the way that you described the book, you told the premise of the book without giving the storyline away. So now inquiring minds have to know. So I'm going to go download the book because you won't tell me what it's about.
Well, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, think. Just tell me the whole story and then I won't have. No. So, ladies and gentlemen, see, this is what we're saying, is that you learn so much. In this hour that I've gotten to know Miranda and know her passion for her paranormal romance and her witches, I see these characters, and I haven't even started reading about them yet. Now, that's the impact that you've made on me tonight, my friend, because I see these characters.
Awesome.
Yeah, I see these characters in my head, and they're saying, come and read me. Know more about me. And it's all your fault. Now I'll be up all night. Thank you very much. So,
well,
ladies
that's
and
all right.
gentlemen.
Now I have to go work. See, now you've got me to where I'm like, okay, now I have to go work on editing on books 4 and 5.
See how that works. It works out wonderfully, doesn't it? So you can get them out so I can finish them. It's called a hook, Miranda. It's a hook here. So now you'll be up all night writing the edits on 4 and 5 and calling your editor and saying, give me the book. Get me the book back. Get me the book back. Uh-huh. That's how it works.
Yep.
So as we get ready to close our show tonight, again, I want to thank you for the honor and the privilege of spending an hour with me. It's very humbling because I want you to succeed. I expect you to succeed, and my expectations are very high because they're high for myself, so I make them high for the people that I surround myself with. So now you're up there on the high expectation list.
Oh, well, thank you, and this was so much fun.
See, you're not nervous anymore at all, are you?
I'm not. This was so much fun.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to close the show tonight, I want to say that on next Wednesday night, David Morrell, now, if you know the name Rambo and Rambo First Blood, you will know the name David Morrell because he is the father of Rambo. He wrote those books, but he has also written some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful books set in England in the 1856 period. And 1855, they're historical fiction, and they are absolutely marvelous. And it was such an honor for him to agree to come on this show at 8 o'clock next Wednesday night. So I expect a huge listening audience, and I expect y'all to share and let everyone know. Then again, on Thursday night, my friend and fellow radio host Floyd Potts will come on the air, and again, because it's off the chain, I have no idea what we're going to be debating or discussing. But we are teaching people how to have discourse and how to have a discussion and a debate about everything from politics to religion to families to crime to everything in between, and to be able to agree to disagree and to have an open mind about discourse, because this last political snafu made a lot of friends bitter enemies, and there is nothing that is more important than friendship and families. And when you allow disagreements like politics to ruin that relationship, then shame on you. So we're teaching people how to have discourse and to have an open mind, so join us next Thursday night at 8 o'clock right here on Off the Chain. We will then not have another show until the 28th, and on the 28th, I will have a guest, and she and I will be discussing grief. Not going to tell you how to grieve. We're just going to be discussing grief and what it does and how it can overcome people. And then we will have a show on the 29th with author Sherry Rensler. She will be promoting her new book. So we've got a lot of things coming up in the next few days. So join me on Wednesday night on Off the Chain. And then again on Thursday night on Off the Chain. And then we go dark until after the silly season, and then we start back up again. It has been a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and I will send you some dates to come on again so we can launch your book. Until,
thank you. It was fun.
It was fun. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, good night. All right, my sweet, we are now off the air, but anything we say now will go into archives. Now, what I will do is once this show goes into archives, I'm going to put the link on my page and I'll tag you in it. Then
okay.
I will download the entire show and I put it up on several different podcasts, and this show goes all over the world.
Oh, awesome.
So when I put the shows up on these different podcasts, I'll put them up on my page and I'll tag you. And my gift to you is you take all of these shows and you post them everywhere on your website, everywhere, and you use these shows to promote your work and to promote you.
Awesome. I definitely will do that.
All right, darling, and let me get off of here and get this show downloaded and see. Let me know as soon as you get a deadline, a drop-dead date on this other book, and we'll bring you back on, and we'll have some more fun.
Great. Thank you.
See, and you won't be nervous.
I won't, because that was fun.
And we'll find all kinds of things to talk about next time.
Okay.
All right, honey. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.